It's time for All Things Gardening with our garden expert, Charlie Nardozzi, this time with a bit of a twist. It's time for the June Q&A lightning round. Are you ready, Charlie?
Hi, Mary. Yay, Q&A time. Let's get into it.
This first one comes from Linda, and Linda writes, "Dear Charlie, I wonder if you could urge gardeners to plant more staple food crops this season. Experts in many fields predicting the possibility of food shortages this fall and winter due to climate change, oil prices, trade tariffs. We might need a modern victory garden. Can you help promote such an effort?"
Oh, of course. I'm always a big advocate of that. And I just want to tell people, though, if you are going to grow extra food for a food shelf, food pantry, whatever you have in your local community, make sure you talk to them first and find out what they want, when they want it, and how they want it, because everybody's a little bit different as far as their hours and what kind of produce, and you want to make sure the produce is fresh when it gets into the hands of the people that need it.
Next question from Edward in Corinth, New Hampshire. Edward writes, "You strongly recommended Cornelian cherry trees. Well, I bought two of them. They're the same variety, and I understand I need to plant a different variety close to them for cross-pollination. I want to grow a Red Dawn variety, but the one I'm looking at has some disease on it. Do I buy it and treat it? Any advice?"
I would not recommend buying a diseased tree. So if you have another option, that would be better. The concern, of course, is that you bring the diseased tree home and then the disease is spread to your trees you have now, and then you've got to start spraying it and taking care of it. So try to find another option. I'm sure there's some other ones out there.
Next one from Julie. Julie writes, "In 2024, my first attempt at a scarlet runner bean teepee with bamboo poles was a success until an August windstorm toppled the whole thing. I fortified it with copper pipes embedded a foot deep. It was strong. Unfortunately, the beans couldn't hold up to the cutworms. I tried making collars with tinfoil, toilet paper tubes. It didn't work. Is my only option going out late at night to handpick the cutworms?"
No, Julie, you don't have to get up in the middle of the night to handpick cutworms. Cutworms, their life cycle will be changing very quickly here. It's the larval stage that's causing all the damage, and that's going to quickly pupate into an adult. So I would say try again maybe in a week or so and put some more beans in there. The other thing you could do is start the beans indoors and then transplant older plants out, which would be less likely to get damaged.
Okay, this next one is a phone call from Molly in Williston. Let's give a listen. She wants to know about her overwintering pepper plants not leafing out.
"We had them in our basement with no leaves on them. And now they've been planted in our garden in a raised bed for about a week, and nothing has happened. So we're trying to figure out how patient we should be or when to declare them dead and buy some new peppers. Thanks for the idea. We figured either way, we might buy new peppers in the spring, so it wasn't crazy to try out this technique. Thanks for your advice. Bye."
So yes, Molly, I think what I would suggest doing is put that plant out in the sun in a warm spot. Think what peppers like, heat and a lot of sunshine. Give it some moisture, maybe even give it a little shot of liquid fertilizer. As long as those stems are green, that means there's green buds on those stems. It means it'll leaf out and it should start growing for you.
Pat writes, "I have three well-established honeyberry bushes, two berry blue and one borealis, all in a row. They blossom. They seem to get tiny berries, but no mature berries ensue. What needs to be done so I can get more mature berries?"
Well, it's kind of curious that you're not getting berries at ripening since you already got them to set. My only thought is that perhaps you're not the only one interested in honeyberries. Birds love honeyberries, and as soon as they see some color on the berry, they'll start eating them. So I would say throw a net over it. And you have to do that with our honeyberries. And after you do that, you may see that those berries that were green will start turning purple and you'll have some.
Next, Alice wrote in and shared photos and said, "The lilac is outside and it's been with me about 6 years. It gets watered two times a week. It gets some sun, but mostly shade. Mostly it's pretty green and healthy, but it's got dark spots on the leaves. Any advice?"
Well, it could be an anthracnose disease or some other kind of fungal disease that's on the leaves, especially if it's in a shady spot and it's been wet and cool and wet, which it has been in sometimes this spring. So I would just watch that. If there's a way to get more light onto that lilac, that would help. If those leaves drop, you know, clean them up, take them away. It's not going to kill the shrub, but it's not going to look really good.
And Alice also sent a photo of her Schefflera saying, "It's only 2 months old. I water it once a week, put some liquid fertilizer in the water. It's inside. It gets indirect light, but no sun. Any advice about the yellowing Schefflera leaves?"
You're not watering enough or you're watering too much. Usually it's too much with houseplants. So I would cut back on the watering, maybe even consider repotting that plant with fresh potting soil and try to just not water as much and see what happens.
Okay, that'll do it for this June Lightning Round Q&A episode of All Things Gardening. If you have garden questions, send them to us, gardening@vermontpublic.org. And listen to this wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Thanks so much, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary. And I'll be seeing you in the garden.